It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And yes, this really is a live program. It is the fifth day of March, 2019. I was afraid I might not be on air this evening, but we made it back in time. And, well, here I am, and there you are. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That is where you go, among other reasons, if you'd like to say, maybe follow my Twitter feed. Or maybe you'd like to be a part of the chat room discussion, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And all you got to do is click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump right in, and you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Otto and Squeaky, all early arrivers this evening. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has nonetheless decided that today might not be the best day to fold space. You will also be moderated by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. So, we're all set. More people will be arriving presently. But we like to make sure there's just a couple of folks milling about to welcome any new folks who might wander in. Yeah. And so this is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. We have thanks to send out this evening to our subscribers. Thanks very kindly to James in Illinois. Thank you very much to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thanks to Roland and Edward for being a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. And thank you very kindly to Roberto. Those are our co-sponsors of the program, our subscribers for the fifth day of the month. If you'd like to join them, just run over to HeadOn.live, click on Contribute, and go from there. And as far as contributions go, thank you very kindly to our buddy Kat. Thank you, Kat, for jumping in and knocking down another $50 so that we're not looking at $350 this evening. We're only looking at $300 to come even with this far into March as we are. $300, 10 at 30, 30 at 10, you know the drill. One at 300, not going to happen. Three at 100, two at 150, four at 75, eight at 3750. And after that, my head starts hurting because all that ciphering on the fly is kind of a pain in the ass. And, you know, I was an English major, not a math major. So just thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know that hot as Trump's burning loins on Head On Live and White Rose Society caught up immediately thereafter, although I'm seeing some buffering going out to the White Rose stream. So God only knows how long that will last. All right, then. I think that takes care of it. And thanks for all the kind words. It was a little bit weird. Agnes called the doctor because she's been feeling under the weather since about last Thursday. And they said, you know, come right now. Don't wait around. So we jumped in the car and ran over to the doctor's office because she'd been experiencing symptoms that Well, frankly, they were reminiscent of mumps. And yeah, you go, what? I mean, everybody, but vaccines, but immunity. But it's 2019, and we live in a country where people think that they can ward off vaccines with fucking crystals. And so, no. And you know, she failed all the tests. You know the mumps test, right? The pickle test that'll make your salivary glands just feel like they're going to go right through you. Yeah, she failed that. I'm telling on you, dear. She said, that's fine. Anything. Well, so she doesn't have mumps, but, you know, a word to the wise is sufficient, and something about an ounce of prevention being the equivalent of a pound of cure, all of that. So, and it's the damnedest remedy I've ever seen in my life. We're treating her with sour gummy worms and Jolly Ranchers. What did I say about a minute ago about people warding off infectious diseases with crystals? Well, no, this is actually real time. She's giving her parotid and salivary glands a workout because apparently they are inflamed, and we don't know why, but they are, and it isn't mumps, so we're glad. Yeah. So, Titanic Tuesday, right? Trump-tanic Tuesday, when we celebrate genuine, authentic, no kidding examples of right-wing intellect. And it just so happened that because we only got in the door about 35 minutes ago, I happened to be listening to National Petroleum Radio on the way back over. And lo and behold, and God only knows why, but one of those highly paid journalists over at NPR, somebody decided it was a good idea to interview Lindsey Graham. Yes, and it's probably was not wise that I would be listening to that whilst I was driving, or Agnes either, because it kind of with the inflammation she's got going on, laughing or even shrieking hurts. But I'll be damned. There was Lindsay who actually said, I kid you not, well, because the question was something about, hey, you hated Donald Trump back in the 2016 election cycle. What the happened? And you know what he didn't say? Well, I found out that when the Russians hacked the Democratic National Committee and got all their emails and turned them over to WikiLeaks and WikiLeaks released them, well, I found out that they hacked the RNC emails too, and they just kept them handy, and now they've got all them dirty pictures of me. Nope, he did not say that. He also did not say, well, I've taken a shit ton of money from the National Rifle Association, and it turns out that the Russians pumped bajillion gooblillion rubles through the National Rifle Association, and some of it wound up in my coffers and Mitch McConnell's and every other Republican under the goddamn sun. No, he didn't say that either. Here's what he said is, I want President Trump to succeed, just like I wanted, and this is where the laughing took, this is where the shrieking and the laughing and all of that started happening, just like I wanted President Obama to succeed. And that was good for a real guffaw, but the uncontrollable belly laughing started with the next line. After all, I helped President Obama as much as I could. When, motherfucker? When? Damn sure wasn't much help when Chinless Mitch said he wasn't only gonna let Obama be 3/5 of a president, and that he wouldn't be letting Merrick Garland. Hell no!
Lindsey Graham wouldn't even let Merrick Garland darken his doorway. No, he went down to the ancestral estate of Smolder and Chode and hid under the fainting couch with a julep till that nasty Judge Garland just went away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know. Titanic intellect. It's a thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. But Lindsey has come to the place where he considers Donald Trump to be his very good friend. And if you're a conservative, he's your kind of guy. Jesus Christ. I mean, can we just include National Public Radio in this Titanic Tuesday nomination? Please. Because it takes some pretty Titanic right-wing intellect to get there. To whoever it was doing the interviewing's credit, she did at least say, well, you know, some people are wondering if you're just pandering to keep from getting primaried. And he hemmed and hawed and, well, shucks, I guess you got me. He's up in 2020, you know. Lindsey is. And we've got friends down there in South Carolina, Stan, I think particularly of Todd and David from South Carolina, Stan, who's been a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation about as long as there's been a Horn Family Community Congregation. And I'm wondering, is there a viable Democrat in South Carolina who could get the senatorial nomination in the Democratic Party and at least give people an opportunity to get free of that fawning Clinton penis-obsessed lick spittle Lindsey Graham? Because it's another one of those moments where it feels like history itself has been forgotten. And people can't remember back when precious Lindsey was just a little pissant member of the House of Representatives and spent months absolutely obsessed with Bill Clinton's junk. But of course, the people of South Carolina rewarded him for that by making him a senator. He replaced didn't he replace a Democratic senator? Can't remember. Not worth the effort. The research department need not take that up. But if we're going to dare to dream big, like I keep saying, night after night after night, we have to think about ways to remove every, because see, the next two, if I read the numbers aright, the next two senatorial cycles are very, very bad for the Republican Party. I know, ciphering, it's dangerous. But let's recall there are 100 senators and roughly 33 of them are up for re-election every 2 years, a third of the Senate. Well, 25 out of not quite 50 Democrats and independents were up in 2018. In 2020, it's 20 Republicans and 13 Democrats. So that's 25 into 28, 38. Okay. So that leaves like 9. That means that 9 Democrats will be up in 2022. Holy shit, Bob, you're talking about 2022. What the hell's the matter with you? You need a vacation. Yeah, we got to long range planning, long range dreaming, long range daring. But if there's only 9 up who are Democrats in 2022, And let's see. Yeah, 25, 35, 38. Yep. So in 2022, 9 Democrats and holy crap, 24 Republicans. Jesus. We have an opportunity within our grasp if we work for it, if we can find something that vaguely resembles unity, if we can avoid tearing each other's scabs off and arguing about who has the claim to the ideological purity. We have a chance to destroy the Republican Party in the Senate of the United States. How about that? And it starts in 2020. And we have to dare to think about the possibility that we could say bye-bye to Lindsey, and bye-bye to Chinless Mitch, and bye-bye to John Cornhole, and bye-bye all over the Confederacy. So hopefully the search is on for viable candidates in each and every race where a Republican is running for re-election. We need to find one of those here in West Virginia because, Shelley Moore Capito, daughter of the single most corrupt man ever to occupy political office in the entire 156-year history of this state, well, she's going to be up for re-election, although there are rumors out there that she won't run and she's just going to play dynasty games and turn it over to her son. I'm so old I can remember all the way back to 2015 when there were purity people hooting about, woo, Clinton dynasty, woo, Clinton dynasty, woo. When the real dynasties happen over on the other side of the aisle. So just, something to think about. Because you know what? Lindsey may, that's the problem with ideological purity. Lindsey may get primaried anyway. Because you can never be pure enough to satisfy the purity patrol, no matter which side you're on. The purity patrol on the right will primary your ass in a heartbeat, and the purity patrol on the left will try to do the same thing. Case in point. There are now 4 Republicans who have announced that they will vote with the Democrats when the resolution comes up, the privilege resolution. Mitch can't help it. If Mitch could stop it from coming to the floor, by Jesus, Mitch would. But he can't stop it. And so the Democratic resolution disapproving of the president's fake bullshit, phony, baloney, ginned up, frauded up, rubed up, dummied up national emergency, well, That's going to be considered in the Senate. And rumor has it, and I'm hard-pressed to believe it, that every Democrat is going to support the resolution, even including Joe Manchin. Forgive me, I've got a long history of Manchin watching. I will believe it when I see it. But if all the Democrats vote for it and 4 Republicans vote for it, then the resolution is officially disapproved and the thing has to go up to Julius Geezer's desk, where I'm sure after snorting a couple of rails of Adderall, he will then get out his veto crayon and scrawl that thing that looks like a future bad EKG tracing and veto the bill. Then it'll go back to the House, and the House will have to try to muster up a 2/3 vote, and then it will go and not get 2/3 in the Senate, and that'll be the end of it, and he'll still have massive cosmic national emergency powers. and then it'll be up to the courts. It's definitely Tuesday. I just got it. Don't confuse me, Billable Rick. I just got an email from Billable Rick. Titanic Wednesday. No, it's Tuesday. The lovely star and I, he says, are getting ready for a Titanic ski getaway in the Donner Pass area of Cali near Tahoe. We'll be staying at Royal Gorge, North America's most vast cross-country ski resort, on Wednesday and Thursday nights. We're packing up our CDs and warm weather clothes and getting ready for some Titanic snow after an 8-hour drive. The resort has received over 420 inches of snow so far this season and may get even more. Not even a sprained ankle on Saturday, don't ask how, is going to stop me from going on this trip. Well, enjoy, and I hope I will not hear about you coming back in a cast up to your hip. And stay away from all trees, please. Enjoy, Billable Rick. Enjoy. But anyway, case in point about how ungrateful the maggots are, they are absolutely fuming. They are in a lather. They are positively rot. Their dudgeon is high down in North Carolina, Stan. According to the Raleigh News and Observer, after Tom Tillis said that he would be voting against the or voting in favor of the resolution of disapproval, voting against Julius Geaser, well, Republicans have gone absolutely batshit crazy. And they're hooting and hollering and say, oh, we're going to primary him. Tom Tillis. Tom Tillis don't deserve to be a senator because he ain't sufficiently maggot. He ain't got no MAGA in him. Oh, goodness. Now, bear in mind, Tom Tillis has done everything except put his nose up in the smelly place and get it nice and brown in Donald Trump's fundament. May have even done that. It's still not enough to satisfy the maggots. There must be lockstep ideological purity, total 100% complete agreement with everything that the God Emperor Dear Leader does. Even though the Republicans who are splitting with Trump point out that, you know, this ain't about Trump. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head Rand Paul, who got the shit beaten out of him for being Rand Paul. He said, I have to vote in favor of this resolution because the Constitution says all monies come through appropriations from the Congress, and the president can't just run around spending money that Congress has not appropriated. His point is fairly well taken. I don't like to agree with Rand Paul, but sometimes, when it's in you and it's in the moment, well, you gotta. And so they're in a high frothing dudgeon in Kentucky stand too. And I guess what, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins up in Maine, although like Joe Manchin, I'll believe it when I see it, where Susan Collins is concerned. But I think at one point Rand Paul and that thing on his head said that he fully expected about 10 senators to vote in favor of the resolution, the privilege resolution that came over from the House. And that would put it at about 10 short of enough to override the veto. Interesting, if nothing else. But Tom Tillis, and, you know, it ain't that far from North Carolina to South Carolina, Tom Tillis going to get his ass primaried, and Lindsey don't want that. He doesn't have that kind of courage. But it was kind of interesting today.
you know, I mentioned I was afraid Agnes had the mumps. Because we live in a crazy country now where people distrust science and instead believe people like Alex Jones. Damnedest thing, you know. I know, I am too. Monique says, I'm tired of Joe Manchin. For real, Bob. Eh, we got him till 2024, unless he decides to run for governor next year. Then it could get real interesting real fast. But they had a hearing today in the Senate on the importance of vaccines. One young man came and testified before the Senate about how he had not been vaccinated because his mother was an anti-vaxxer. So as soon as he got old enough, he went out and started getting his vaccinations. Because he damn sure didn't want chicken pox as an adult. It should kill you. And he didn't want measles, and he didn't want mumps, and he didn't want rubella. And he didn't want any of the other thing, any other things that we vaccinate against. And for those of you who watch my Facebook page, I posted a query earlier today. It was just one of those things that sort of came to me in the night, in my sleep, dreams, whatever. You don't want to go there. Yes, you're supposed to have sympathy, Monique. He's my senator. Jesus. I got to live with that every day. You, at least, you got Kirsten Gillibrand and Chuck Schumer. I mean, they're no lottery prizes, but it's a far cry better than what I got down here. Joe Manchin and the daughter of the single most corrupt individual ever to occupy political office in the state of West Virginia. Yeah, damn right I expect some sympathy. Come on. We're liberals, right? But, no, anyway, I asked earlier today, do anti-vaxxers oppose rabies vaccines? You know, for dogs and cats. Raccoons are notorious for showing up rabid. Skunks can be rabid. If the skunk is running at you instead of spraying and running away, you run too. And try to outrun the skunk. Or the raccoon. Possums don't carry rabies. They're not really known to. Armadillos, leprosy. But I'm getting away from my point. Are they that weird? I mean, we know they're stupid. Are they that stupid? Probably. But, so, just to prove that, you know, just because you find yourself in agreement with Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head from, once in a blue moon, don't expect that to become a trend. Because from, like, the weekend to today, it's over. Because there he was in the Senate hearing today saying, let's go to the recording because, well, just because it's so much better than I can do it.
Dr. Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. For much of modern history, science and freedom have lived in relative harmony. Traditionally, as medical discoveries came about, like smallpox or polio
Blow me,
vaccine,
stop it, wait, stop,
antisepsis
stop, stop.
Or antibiotics,
oh,
the results
God
were so overwhelming that over time, the vast majority of the public...
Hold on just a damn minute. For the vast majority of time, liberty and science have lived in harmony?
I might refer Dr. Paul, whom I would not trust to put a goddamn Band-Aid on. Well, being a doctor didn't count for much when he got the shit kicked out of him for being a dickhead to his neighbor, did it? Physician, heal thyself. Dr. Paul might want to have a chat with Mr. Galileo Galilei. Because Galileo had some real liberty problems after he, using science, proved that, no, the sun does not revolve around the earth revolves around the sun, and this in turn caused the Holy Roman Catholic Mother Church to go, brooga, 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 heresy, Inquisition, brooga, brooga, cut his head off. But eventually they did decide not to murder Galileo, and instead they just kept him under house arrest and told him to, you know, confine his activities with that newfangled telescope that he'd invented, or, you know, maybe bought it from Copernicus R. Us or whatever. Why don't you just use that looking at little naked boys like the rest of us do down at the Vatican? Science and liberty have lived in harmony. Now, you know, it's Rand Paul. The stupid is strong with this one. Always will be. Oh, God. All right, dagnabbit. We're going to get back to him because, well, it is Titanic Tuesday, and if this isn't Titanic intellect, I damned well don't know what is. But here's the fun part. An equally nutty white-wing jackass in the Senate, a guy by the name of Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, think of it as battling doctors. I wouldn't trust either one of them to put a fucking Band-Aid on me. Because you never know when a white-wing doctor is going to get a terrible, terrible case of the conservatism while he's in the middle of treating you. Ooh. But, yeah, back to science and liberty living. Sit, Liberty, sit!
Dr. Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. For much of modern history, science and freedom have lived in relative harmony. Traditionally, as medical discoveries came about, like smallpox or polio vaccine, antisepsis or antibiotics, the results were so overwhelming that over time the vast majority of the public accepted these advances voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Voluntarily. Voluntarily. You know, when it turned out that actual medicine worked better than, say, bleeding the demons out of somebody like they did to George Washington, part of the reason, you know, extending our last night discussion from last night with Darlene and me about the relative ages of presidents when they decided to check out, or didn't decide, but did, just checked out. Washington wasn't feeling particularly good when the local sawbones showed up with a bucket and a, you know, a rusty knife and said, father of our country, I'm a trained medical professional, and I'm absolutely convinced that that black bile's what's got you under the weather. So we're going to bleed about a quart out of you and see if that doesn't bring you. You'll feel better by morning. And instead, he was dead by the next day. So when not dying by having the black bile bled out of you was replaced by actual medicine that would work, you know, instead of Theodoric of York medieval barber, you know, the advances of actual medical science, bit of a digression here. The ancient Greeks and Romans had done some pretty amazing things with medicine. Among other things, we know that the ancient Egyptians knew how to do brain surgery and knew how to relieve pressure on the brain, because we found skulls that had, what's it called, trepanning? Where a little bit of the skull had been removed to let off pressure, and it right, pretty advanced. And Galen, I think it was, he specialized in battlefield injuries, as is often the case. You can really study some of the worst things that can happen to a human body by studying battlefield injuries. And he developed a medical kit of medical tools, instruments, that would actually be used for quite some time until, of course, the church got hold of society and suppressed knowledge, suppressed science in the West. And so instead they came up with ideas like demons and black bile. There weren't a lot of advances in medical science for about 500 years. Again, witness the fact that Washington was bled to death to get the ill humors out of him. Germ theory doesn't come along until late 19th century. Yeah. When the X-ray machine was invented after the work of Madame Curie, it was largely unregulated, you know, libertarian, and people ran around, and it was a parlor game, and you'd radiate people just to show them what their skulls looked like. Why, look at that, Matilda. Look at your skull. And meanwhile, they hadn't worked out things like dose for radiation. No. The idea of modern medicine is fairly recent, hence the word modern. One of the earliest proponents of vaccination was actually a preacher. And his descendants wound up coming to West Virginia and settling here. I believe his name was Jonathan Edwards. And he was also the grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, of Aaron Burr. And his experiments with vaccines, it wound up costing him his life. And somewhere there's an anti-vaxxer lurking. See? Oh, God. You know, that was, of course, the 18th century. The late 18th century. Mid to late 18th century. But any time that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head start talking, you know that stupidity is going to come rolling out of his gob. And today was no different.
In fact, innovations like the smallpox vaccine had to overcome initially great public prejudice. Dr. Zebediel Boylston learned about the Middle Eastern technique from his servant for the famous pastor, Cotton Mather's. His first patient was actually his son, an incredibly brave choice. The consensus of the medical community, though, was entirely opposed to him at the time. The vaccine was a live vaccine, and as Dr. Boylston learned, about 1 in 50 of those inoculated would die from the vaccine. And yet, the death rate from smallpox was approximately 50%. The government did not mandate the vaccine, though.
There wasn't a government to mandate it, but that never gets in the way of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head.
But within two generations, it was accepted enough that George Washington insisted that Martha be vaccinated with the smallpox vaccine before visiting him in the military camps. Today, though, instead of persuasion, many governments have taken to mandating a whole host of vaccines, including vaccines for non-lethal diseases. Sometimes these
non-lethal diseases that can prove lethal in at-risk populations. I mean, odds are, if an 8-year-old kid comes down with measles, rubella, say, that 8-year-old kid is not going to die. But if that 8-year-old kid gets within proximity of a pregnant woman, all manner of things, including death, can happen to the baby that she's carrying. Now, let's remember that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, is pro-life. You know, he
He spends a lot of time worrying and fretting and flustering over the precious little fetuses. But he's not worried enough about them to think that it would be a good idea to make sure that we got herd immunity and nobody has to get their babies ruined or killed by rubella. Nah.
Vaccine mandates have run amok when the government mandated a rotavirus vaccine that was later recalled because it was causing intestinal blockage in children. I'm not a fan of government coercion, yet given the choice, I do believe that the benefits of most vaccines vastly outweigh the risks.
Notice that there was a witness whom he thanked for their testimony, but instead he decided to unlimber himself of the vast storehouse of the wisdom of Rand Paul instead of actually eliciting more information from the kid or whomever the witness was who realized that being vaccinated was better than not being vaccinated. A lot of ego there under that thing on Rand Paul's head.
Yet it is wrong to say that there are no risks to vaccines. Even the government admits that children are sometimes injured by vaccines. Since 1988, over $4 billion has been paid out from the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Despite the government admitting to and paying $4 billion for vaccine injuries, no informed consent is used or required when you vaccinate your child. This may be the only medical procedure in today's medical world.
Time out. You know that fund exists? That fund exists so that you don't have to jump through all the hoops of proving medical malpractice, which, by the way, Rand Paul would like to see done away with entirely. Don't for a minute think that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head is in any way in support of that injury fund that he's talking about there. If he could zero that out tomorrow and give it to some godforsaken corporation that gives money to his political action committee or whatever, he would do it. This guy Rand Paul is the height. I mean, he is the king of hypocrites. He opposes, for instance, the idea that every American should be able to go to the doctor if they're sick, and yet the fucker has made a fortune on Medicare and Medicaid. Remember, this is the same guy who couldn't pass the actual board exams for the, what do they call themselves, the National Board of Ophthalmology. So he invented his own dummied up, faked up, frauded up, rubed up board and gave himself an A+. What a schmuck.
Where an informed consent is not required. Now, proponents of mandatory government vaccination argue that parents who refuse to vaccinate their children risk spreading these diseases to the immunocompromised community. There doesn't seem...
They don't argue that, Rand. That's a fact, not an argument. It's not in doubt. All you have to do is watch how infectious disease vectors outward from a typical patient zero, and the thing becomes self-proving. There's even a Latin legal term for it called, and that term is res ipsa loquitur. The thing speaks for itself. But Rand doesn't like that because Rand Paul is a libertarian ophthalmologist.
To be enough evidence of this happening to be recorded as a statistic, but it could happen. But if the fear of this is valid, are we to find that next we'll be mandating flu vaccines? Between 12 and 56,000 people die from the flu or are said to die from the flu in America. And
hey, dumbass. How many people died in the flu epidemic, pandemic, globally? No, hell, let's just narrow it down to the United States. How many people died in that?
Oh, well, you know, if we'd had flu vaccines back then, 12 to 16,000 people might have died from the flu vaccine.
Hey, dumbass!
the number of people who died from the flu itself was way the hell higher than any 12 to 16,000 you fuckwit.
It's estimated to be a few hundred from measles, so I would guess that those who want to mandate measles will be after us on the flu next.
Oh, goody. He's guessing now. Did you hear that? I'd guess. That's what I expect from a libertarian ophthalmologist, guessing instead of science.
Yet the current science only allows for educated guessing when it comes to the flu vaccine. Each year, before that year's flu vaccine strain is known, the scientists put their best guess into that year's vaccine. Some years it's completely wrong. We vaccinate for the wrong strand of the wrong strain of flu vaccine. Yet five states already mandate flu vaccine.
Oh no!
Is it really appropriate?
Is it? Is it really appropriate? Goodness me, mercy sakes alive! Five states mandate flu vaccines. Woo! Liberty's rolled over. Liberty's playing dead. Sit, Liberty, sit.
Appropriate to mandate a vaccine that more often than not vaccinates for the wrong flu strain?
More often than not? Really? You got any peer-reviewed data for that, Rand Paul? Of course not. Rand Paul wouldn't know peer-reviewed data if peer-reviewed data walked up to him and beat the shit out of him in his front yard.
As we contemplate forcing parents to choose this or that vaccine, I think it's important to remember that force is not consistent with the American story, nor is force consistent with the liberty our forefathers sought when they came to America.
You know, the liberty our forefathers sought when they came to America and promptly built an economy that was based on a whole lot of people not having any liberty at all. And force is not consistent with an American ideal of liberty. No, of course not. Unless you're forcing somebody to spend the entirety of their lives working to make you rich. Jesus Christ, this is the most ahistorical little prick I think I've ever heard in my life. Force, isn't it? Man, that white privilege is making him glow.
I don't think you have to have one or the other, though. I'm not here to say don't vaccinate your kids. If this hearing is for persuasion, I'm all for the persuasion. I vaccinated myself. I vaccinated my kids. For myself and my children, I believe that the benefits of vaccines greatly outweigh the risks.
Too bad there's not a vaccine against libertarianism and its various sequelae, including rampant terminal incurable stupidity.
But I still do not favor giving up on liberty for a false sense of security.
Yeah, lay down, Liberty. We're going to give up on you. Dr. Veterinary Medicine Man, do you have the giving up on Liberty syringe over there? Good night, Liberty. No, he doesn't want to give up on Liberty. Jack in Shreveport. There's plenty of Star Trek references to your current conversation on medicine versus Bruga Bruga. Here's one. Spock complains he has to work with equipment which is hardly very far ahead of stone knives and bear skins. Well played. Well played, Jack. Yes. And Jack continues, subject line, libertarian dude. Isn't dude the one who went all the way to another country that apparently could not possibly have the best health care in the world, since we do, to get something fixed that got hurt in his fight? Maybe it was someone else. No. That's Rand Paul. He had to go to Canada to get his, I forget which surgery it was. Maybe it was hernia surgery or something? You know, from where he got his ass kicked for being such a... Well, I mean, I don't want to wear it out or anything, but when it's in you and it's in the moment, it's kind of hard to avoid. It just is. Mm-hmm.
You dick!
That's right. Thank you, Professor Spicoli. But there's an upside to all of this. because, like I said, it's the battle of the Republican doctors. Two walk in, only one walks out. And he wasn't even mowing his lawn and got his ass kicked anyway.
I mean, after this hearing, he must have, Jesus, I get my ass kicked in my front yard, now I'm getting it kicked in a Senate. Oh, fuck me.
Thank you.
Yeah, those are the anti-vaxxers clapping for Rand Paul. They want to be free to make other people sick, the anti-vaxxers do. What's that? Flavio says, they are impervious to facts. Headline, Danish research busts autism via vaccination. Brother Deacon Asa also sent this along. Massive report involving 650,000 children in Denmark puts an end to the long-standing myth. Here's the lead paragraph. Despite the World Health Organization identifying non-vaccinated children as being among the top 10 global threats of 2019, the issue not only still persists but seems to be gathering momentum. But a massive Danish study involving 650,000 children over a decade has debunked the autism via MMR vaccination myth once and for all. The research found that autism is just as prevalent among children administered the MMR vaccination compared to those who weren't. This myth surrounding MMR and autism has existed for over 20 years, and I think it's very important that there is some science-based response to that. Anders Huvlid, a senior researcher with the State Serum Institute in Denmark, who is among the authors of the new research, told Dr. Nyheter. The conclusion is very solid. We can't see any connection. Well, don't try telling that to the anti-vaxxers because they don't acknowledge the reality of science in the first place. We're talking about assholes who let their children die while they're treating them with fucking maple syrup. That happened in Canada. Or assholes who just let their children die while they're praying for Jesus to heal them. It's like the guy who was shipwrecked, and he was bobbing along at sea, and he's praying to God, oh, dear God, please get me rescued, please get me rescued. And while he's busy praying and looking down, he doesn't see the helicopter fly over him. But he keeps praying because he's a man of faith. And he says, God, please get me rescued. Please don't let me die out here. And he falls asleep while he's praying. And he never sees the searchlights of the nearby passing ship that's looking for survivors. And as the life ebbs out of him, he says, God, why did you let me die? And suddenly a big booming voice comes down out of the sky and says, I sent you a fucking helicopter. I sent you a boat. What do you want? That's your anti-vaxxers. Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell time. That's for Brother Deacon Asa. Stop telling us how to slowly kill our children, Bob. Thank you. If we'd made it all the way through this without a stop telling me, Bob, I think there would have been something wrong with the community. Since film recommendations have become a thing around the Horn Family Community Congregation of late, Robert in Australia offers up a recommendation of Contagion from 2011. If we're doing film recommendations, I suggest Contagion. A new extremely deadly virus, it's 100% fatal, just appears in the USA and then all over the planet in just a few days. How and where the virus came from is explained at the end of the film. How it spreads around the world in a few days is a great scene. Well worth a watch. You'll want to wear disposable gloves everywhere you go from then on. Right, yeah. And, you know, today when we were in the doctor's office, we were careful. We got there. Agnes looks at somebody and says, you know, I don't know if this is contagious, but if it is, I don't want to be responsible. So could I please have a mask? Because a glove and gown probably wouldn't have been available, but she at least masked up because she didn't want to get anybody else sick if there was a chance that it was contagious.
The anti-vaxxers, however, they will come in to be treated, but they don't give a fuck about anybody else because they're lost in their own sick little twisted dirt dumb goddamn worlds.
This is Titanic Tuesday, remember. Okay, so I think the libertarian... Wait, force? Force, asks Matt in San Francisco. Ask the indigenous people about American force. Yeah. Ask the indigenous people of the Americas about British and French and Dutch and Portuguese and Spanish and contagion. Force. Exactly. Well said, Matt. Thanks for the reminder. And thank you to Silent R. Lamar. It's okay to agree with Ron Paul. Stopped clocks right twice a day. I don't think Ron Paul can be said to be right once a day, or for that matter, once a week, as he is just here so very clearly demonstrated. All right, the anti-vaxxers are done clapping. Let's find out what happens next. In Battle of the Republican Doctors, two walk in, only one walks out. The other one has to go to Canada for surgery.
Do you yield back?
Yeah, my turn. Let me give some color to what Senator Paul said.
This is Senator Cassidy from Louisiana.
And I've seen people who...
Now, this is, he's a fetus fetishist. He's a weirdo. But I guess for even for maggot senators, there's a line that, you know, he just can't cross. Of course, if it turns out that all the maggots in Louisiana hate vaccines... Dr. Cassidy here will become an anti-vaxxer quicker than you can say MMR.
Not been vaccinated, who've required liver transplantation because they were not, and are who ended up with terrible diseases because of no other reason than they just, for whatever reason, didn't understand vaccination was important. I think it's important to point out that even if flu shots are not completely effective, they do mitigate. And so there is a cross benefit that will decrease the severity, number one. Number two, hospitals commonly require their employees to be immunized because they understand that herd immunity is important. And if the nurse's aide is not immunized, she can be a typhoid Mary, if you will, bringing disease to many who are immunocompromised, as Mr. Boyle points out. And as regards the federal government requiring, there is a federal statute requiring that vaccine information statements should be given. That is a federal requirement. And in the name of liberty, we should rely, therefore, upon states and localities to make a further requirement, but they typically do require an informed consent. So that's important to know, not to be misled by, not to be misled regarding that. Secondly, I think we should point out that in terms of a requirement, the requirement is just that you cannot enter school unless you're vaccinated. Now, if you're such a believer in liberty that you do not wish to be vaccinated, then there should be a consequence, and that is that you cannot infect other people. Mr. Boyle, if your child is born with immunodeficiency and someone comes to your school who is not vaccinated, and the lack of herd immunity means that your child, who no fault of their own, cannot be immune, is it a victimless crime that somebody doesn't get vaccinated and your child dies? I mean, my gosh, you're the guy who's representing those people who, whatever reason, the vaccine doesn't work or they're particularly susceptible. Now, Dr. Weissman, I seem to remember a particularly tragic case in Washington State from about 6 years ago of a child who was immunocompromised on steroids, chemotherapy for cancer, and someone brought measles to the school, and I think I remember that child died. Do I remember that correctly?
If we're talking the same child, yes, died a number of years later from a follow-up reaction.
Now, so the parent has had the child vaccinated, but now she's on cancer chemotherapy, and she's immunocompromised, and she is in school thinking that she can be a normal child, even though she's on cancer chemotherapy. But because someone else has made a decision not to vaccinate their child, her child dies. Now, if you believe in liberty, that's fine. Don't get immunized. But I don't think you need to necessarily expose others to disease.
Okay, on this liberty issue. So let's say a libertarian anti-vaxxer, their spawn, causes your kid to die. Do you have enough liberty to go and then stomp the living shit out of that libertarian anti-vaxxer the same way Rand Paul's neighbor stomped the living shit out of him? Because I'm just trying to figure out what the fucking rules are here. Wouldn't it be a lot better just to have everybody get vaccinated so nobody has to get the shit stomped out of them?
Dr. McCullers, tell me, you're in a state, you mentioned a practice where you have people from three different states. And hats off to Mississippi. They always have the highest immunization rate.
Wonder why that might be. Hats off to Mississippi. Wonder why. Now, I'm just asking here. Reckon it could be because there aren't enough African-American libertarians in Mississippi to fill a 1973 Chevy Vega. Might that have something to... I'll bet it does.
You didn't elaborate. What are the differences between the patients from three different states in terms of, okay, Mississippi is always immunized. You imply that maybe Tennessee and Arkansas is not.
Right, so Mississippi does not allow any non-medical exemptions, and they have nearly a 100% rate of immunization at school entry. They pay a...
Oh, shit. Now the cat's out of the bag. God damn it, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, anti-vaxxer, Christian, Republicans, libertarians, white folks in Mississippi who control the legislature there will make sure that there's religious exemptions for not vaccinating your children. We've got those same religious exemptions here in West Virginia. Oh, fuck. Why'd y'all have to talk about that? It's W.C. Fields' third commandment. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. I fully expect that there will be a religious exemption bill introduced in the Mississippi legislature probably within hours of them finding out about what Dr. McCullers just done said. Meanwhile, Arkansas, Tennessee, well...
A lot of attention to it. Tennessee's in the middle. They allow religious exemptions, but not philosophical exemptions. In Tennessee, we have about a 97% vaccination rate at kindergarten entry, but we've seen the rate of non-medical exemptions under the religious exemption triple in the last 10 years. So you can predict where that's going. Arkansas, on the other hand, allows both religious and philosophical exemptions and has a rate that's around 93 to 94% below the level for community immunity.
In what state do you see the most vaccine-preventable diseases nonetheless presenting themselves?
Well, all of these are rare, we see them from all the, you know, we see things from all the states. Tennessee, we get about one a year measles case, always imported from outside the United States.
So we have an adequate herd immunity that would still protect even if people are coming in and bringing another disease.
To this point, you know, the problem is, as you've seen in California and Oregon and Washington, is that there are pockets.
And North Carolina.
And it could
and
happen
Texas.
Easily in Tennessee next week. Even though we're 97%, there's plenty of communities that are below that level, and we might see the outbreak in that community.
Now, Mr. Lindenberger, so obviously we have a bunch of docs or people who are, you know, I can't help but notice that your beard is not as heavy as the other people's. So this was not total, you don't have to be an MD or a PhD or a Master's of Public Health to understand these issues, correct?
Correct.
So you just need to bring a critical faculty to it and look at it and understand it's not just the individual who's affected, but it is the individual whom the person goes to school with, correct?
And as I've stated before, my decision to get vaccinated was based on the health and safety of myself and other people. And I approached my family physician, spoke to her. She encouraged me to get vaccinated. And even at school, I was told I wouldn't be able to attend if I did not get my vaccines, but was opted out. And so my school viewed me as a health threat. And so that, for me, also pushed me to look further into getting my vaccines despite my mother's beliefs, because I saw the threat that was being imposed.
I'm out of time. Although I'm the chair, I will nonetheless defer to myself. But I thank you very much. And Mr. Lindenberger, thank you for caring for the people you went to school with as much as you cared for yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, but see, Mr. Lindenberger, that young whippersnapper, he ain't got no liberty. Because he's all vaccinated and ain't got no liberty. Jesus. I mean, and really... When it comes to anti-vaxxers, these weird freaks out there have chicken pox parties. Instead of getting their children vaccinated against chicken pox, one kid will have chicken pox, and they'll make sure all the kids go around and hang out with them and get coughed on and sneezed and touched, and so everybody gets the chicken pox. But somehow or another, that's not a dice roll, but a vaccination is. Night after night after night, we talk about the problems that this country faces. Most of them arise out of monumental stupidity. And some excusable ignorance. Ignorance is excusable when once you have exposed it and identified it, people move to stop being ignorant. As the saying goes, you can't fix stupid. And somehow or another, I guess maybe Senator Dr. Cassidy there felt like he'd been gooning on his fellow Confederate states enough, so he didn't bring up Texas, where the daughter of Kenneth Copeland caused an outbreak of infectious disease as an anti-vaxxer a couple of years ago, or this year, where it's broken out in North Carolina. But please, do not make the mistake of thinking that anti-vaxxing is strictly a white wing problem, because it is not. Witness the fact that you've got Jill Stein out there. It happens on the far, 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 far Jill Stein voting left, too. Now, being as how this is Titanic Tuesday, a couple of, David in South Carolina, Stan points out, from Vlad, with love, anti-vaxxing, from Vlad. Yeah, because they saw that as a pressure point, and they leveraged it for all they were worth. Because, you know, a country that stopped vaccinating would probably be to Mother Russia's advantage. We have crossed into the second hour of the program. We have $300 to raise, and we are at zero. So it would be really great if we could knock out some portion of that $300 so that we don't wind up talking, you know, $900 come Friday. This is commercial-free radio. Maybe we forget because, I mean, I do, because I don't listen to that much multimillionaire for-profit radio anymore, or and as little TV as I can. I tend to read more than anything. But if you were listening to this program and it was running on a typical commercial schedule, the 1 hour and 8 minutes of uninterrupted programming that we've just had here would have been interrupted by something on the order of 14 or more minutes of commercial matter. 14 minutes of interruptions of the topic at hand, 14 minutes of trying to get you to buy some stupid-ass radio you don't want, or a mattress that you might not even like, or a vacuum cleaner to pick up bowling balls off the mattress that you don't have, or buying gold that will cost you more than the money that will be worth less than the money you spend on it. Or maybe a steel building. Or some hardwood floors from some portion of the globe, the round globe, not flat earth, the round globe where we're cutting down trees for, oh, I don't know, palm oil plantations, or, you know, just to make crap that we really don't need. 14 plus minutes of that in the last hour and nine. But that never, ever, ever, ever happens here. because y'all are determined to keep this program on the air. And so we try to raise $200 a night. And right now we are at $300. Prayer meeting Wednesday, 5. Thorn in the side Thursday, 7. And Friday on the front porch, and we'll be scrambling for a community-made miracle, 9. It would be ever so much easier if we took a bite out of all of that. So, you know, the contribute tab is over at headon.live, and hopefully things will do better than zero tonight. Now, I think there's sort of a natural segue between anti-vaxxing and the next couple of stories. Let's go to South Dakota, Stan, shall we? South Dakota, Stan, that doesn't have a third of the population of, say, Puerto Rico, but still gets 2 senators where Puerto Rico gets none. Well, it was a not good week or weekend in South Dakota, Stan, especially in the Sioux Falls School District, where the Sioux Falls Argus Leader reported on a play that was performed over the weekend. And in their reporting, they said, the play allegedly featured a scene of student actors dressed in Ku Klux Klan attire. Officials said the district didn't follow the proper vetting guidelines for the production, following concerns raised by local community organization Establishing Sustainable Connections. The district has guidelines in place for vetting plays and other such works, and the district failed to follow those guidelines, spokeswoman Deanne Conrad said in a prepared statement. We sincerely regret this and will continue to take action in our quest to be a culturally responsive school community. It was a play called The Foreigner. And it involved a scene that had several student thespians. Not thespians! Yes, thespians. Strutting and fretting their hour upon the stage in Klan robes in a setting that was supposed to be Georgia. How do you get there? No, I mean, I don't mean Georgia. I know that. But how does a school play in South Dakota? Why? Who's the sponsor of the drama club? Lester Maddox IV? Jesus, that's South Dakota, though. If you want the real deal, you got to go to Talabama. In particular, the Hoover, Alabama school district, where Spain Park High School is located. Looks like there was some sort of a student party. It was off campus. And kids are walking around with those red Solo cups that are ubiquitous for holding beer and things like that you can't see through. And somebody started shooting video when these young scholars decided to let their hair down and say what was really on their mind. What was really on their mind, apparently, was Jewish people and African Americans. I'll go ahead and offer up a trigger warning with this because it ain't nice. Okay? So, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Without the Holocaust, what would the world be like?
We would have white people now. All of the
Jews would run the world without the Holocaust. fuck niggers, fuck Jews.
Jews are fine.
If the Holocaust never happened, Jews would be running the world right now.
It's fine. We just need niggers gone. So half.
Think about
mix
that.
Mix Oreos.
Think about that.
What are you gonna do with them?
Awesome.
You stick them in concentration camps.
No, you have to. No, you have to wait till they die. Oh.
Fuck,
you
kind of run.
It's charging. No,
yeah, we run niggers because they do football for us and rap music, and we pay them for that.
No, they do nothing. You want to know what the fucking Democrat and like whole Republican?
How about we just kick out all the Democrats
are
and we go on strike?
That want to you take white people's money? Who don't want
to? Had enough? I have. Yeah. Then what? Oh, what's the other one? Yes. Let me see. Got to get my search right. Ah, there it is. Yeah, don't think you're getting out of just because we did Alabama and South Dakota, don't think you're getting out of it, California, because y'all got some exposure in this, too. A pair of Southern California high schools. Students and alumni of Newport Harbor High School and Costa Mesa High School took to Snapchat recently to show how much fun they were having at, again, an off-campus party. These students and alums, I don't know, was it homecoming? Who knows? Well, they took pictures. Because they set up a whole bunch of those aforementioned red Solo plastic cups, kind of like a massive beer pong. Only they, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 32, 44, 52, something like 104, 106 of those red cups. And hey, what's the fun if you just put them in all in a big line, huh? So instead, they lined them up in the shape of a Hakenkreuz. Yeah, a swastika. That's right. Because, yeah. Posted photos show students from two Southern California high schools offering the Heil Hitler salute over a swastika made out of beer cups. CBS LA reporting the story. California Congresswoman Katie Porter condemned the incident. Porter wrote on Twitter, "I condemn this display of hateful anti-Semitic symbol and call on parents and community leaders to redouble our efforts to educate young people about the history of violence against Jewish people worldwide. This has no place in, wait for it, Orange County." Up until the 2018 midterms, that was precisely the place for it. That's Reagan country. Old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. You better believe that's the place for it. Because it's Republican paradise. Or was. On the other hand, once again, the school district had to crank out a prepared statement. Newport Mesa Unified School District officials said, "We were recently made aware of social media postings involving some students who created inappropriate anti-Semitic symbols." Ooh, I hate language abuse. When you say inappropriate anti-Semitic symbols, that means there are appropriate anti-Semitic symbols, and there aren't. Holy shit! Inappropriate anti-Semitic... I hate weasel language. It gives me the fantods.
Let's hear that again, sports fans. We were recently made aware of social media postings involving some students who created inappropriate anti-Semitic symbols and possible underage drinking. While these actions did not occur on any school campus or school function, we condemn all acts of anti-Semitism and hate in all their forms.
Well, no, you don't, Buster, because up above you said you had a problem with the inappropriate anti-Semitic symbols. Fuck me.
We remain focused on educating students on all aspects of life's challenges and are committed to holding students accountable, educating them on the consequences of their choices, and the impact these actions have on our schools and community at large. Meanwhile, Republicans are still having a conniption over Ilhan Omar. But these things don't exist in a vacuum. It was only about a year and a half ago when at a private high school in Hotlanta, a kid got expelled, four others got suspended, when they when a photo went out on social media doing the same thing called Jews versus Nazis beer pong. Generally speaking, I tend to say that these things begin in the home. I don't know how much of that, I don't know the degree to which we can say that that's absolutely a thing here. Because no matter how hard a parent may try, in adolescence, peer pressure is a hell of a thing. And we need to understand that the Republican base of Nazis and white supremacists, neo-Nazis, skinheads, white nationalists, etc., have sophisticated, well-funded outreach efforts that are directed right at kids entering adolescence. Kids for whom the Second World War, the Third Reich, the Holocaust, may not even be taught. Or if taught, it's taught in some other fashion, or barely taught, because by God, you gotta move on to the next topic, because there's a fucking standardized test to be taken. The LA Times interviewed a student, and she said that she and her Jewish friends felt threatened by the incident. Well, you damn well should be. Because that ain't the symbol of welcome wagon. But this might be a time for us all to remember that there was a time when a young man that the world is mostly enamored of now went to a costume party dressed as a Nazi. I'm talking about the son of the Crown Prince of the United Kingdom. Yeah, House of Windsor, all of that. But it just seems to go on and on and on. And some of it, I think, has to do with proximity in time. I was raised by a World War II veteran. And I was, for my age group, unique in that regard. Most of my peer group, when I was a kid, you know, their granddad may have been in the war. That's still better than not having anybody to talk to about it.
there were members of my extended family who were involved in liberating the camps. And so I wasn't allowed not to know about it. And there was there was no gray area. It was wrong. It was murder. It was crime against humanity. It was war crimes. And what happened at Nuremberg was a matter of people getting what they had coming. What happened at Nuremberg was a matter of people earning the punishment they received. That they reaped what they had sown. And Agnes and I have tried to do what my parents did and to make sure that that lesson was not lost on our own. But I know for a fact that other parents weren't doing that. There was a kid in the high school who was a self-professed fan of Adolf Hitler. Holy shit. So I don't care what that school district says, they're not getting the job done. They're not getting the job done at all. Some thanks to send out here at the halfway point of the program. Thanks very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island and to Andy, the Angry Jew, for jumping in. I can happily announce that we are now down to $225 to go. That's huge. Thank you both so very, very much. That is tremendous. And hopefully you'll have some company as the program goes on. But if people are running around in Klan robes and giving the Heil Hitler salute, some of it is because I guess we're just always going to have some of those kind of hateful people in our in a society this broad and this big and this open. But a lot of it is avoidable. But in order for it to be avoided, we have to teach children to avoid it. See, if this is one of those places where I was still using music, I'd fire up Buffalo Springfield and teach your children well. Or the soundtrack to South Pacific, and you have to be carefully taught. So, And to be fair, that would be the case. The situation as I just described it would be the case if everything else was normal. We don't live in a time of normal. We live in a time of Trump. And he has over the, all the way back to when he started the birther conspiracy, he has normalized this fascist hate. And don't think for a minute that the kids that were hiling and swastika beer ponging, don't think there weren't some MAGA hats in there. Because it means the same thing. And everybody knows it. Just like in Europe, they know that they can't fly the Third Reich swastika flag, but there are no consequences for flying the Confederate battle flag, so they fly that. They display that instead, because they know it means the same thing. Just to be clear. Let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hello. Hold on.
Yeah?
So, you know, why are you harping on Nazis?
You know, they're put upon, aren't they? I mean, what? Yeah.
No. Now, you know damn well, according to some of the finest leaders in our country.
Very fine people. Very fine people.
You're making fun of me. The Western world would not be what it is without the white male and his industriousness.
And don't forget his bootstraps.
And bootstraps. What's the problem here?
I mean, those kids just having some fun. Let them have their fun. They'll grow out of it.
See, this is what is wrong with you people. You don't understand.
Wait. We are halfway through the program. I just got you peopled. Wait a minute. You get a cowbell for you peopling me.
And thank you. And all the cowbell proceeds via Bitcoin will be at some point. You know, falling back to you. So. But, anyway, that's another story.
Cast your cowbells upon the water, and they will come back pressed down and shaken together in the form of Bitcoin.
Right. You know, into rubles, into American dollars.
Or maybe the new Facebook cryptocurrency.
Oh, that shit. How about that? That's why I don't trust those motherfuckers, man. I told you that. They were shifty from the beginning. What? See, I remember when MySpace, MySpace, that was the thing. Fine, MySpace, And then here comes Facebook. Man, you got me off a tangent. Here comes Facebook, and everybody's like, And I had a lot of young friends who were like, hey, you got to be on Facebook. You can put up when you're at the bar, and you're doing. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think this program was much over a year old when a buddy of mine told me, hey, you want to make the thing grow, you got to get on Facebook. You got to get on MySpace. It's like being 13 years old all over again, but everybody's on it.
And then the mugs, they really got deep into it. It's like, oh, you have, and this is when iPhones first came out. Then they can track you. Your friends can see where you are. Isn't that cool? Oh, your friends can see who you are. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's not think that cool. Let's just do it. Okay. How many ways is that wrong? Okay. That tangent is done. Burn it. Okay. So what the fuck, man? Let me. I want to follow up on something that we talked about last time we talked.
Okay. Well, I kind of had a question before we follow up.
Oh, fuck.
what do you do with these kids? I mean, you can't. Hang them upside down in a dungeon for a couple of weeks till they, or you can't, get all Monty Python and nail them up, I say, nail some sense into them. You can't do that. You know what maybe we need? Mm-hmm. We need a fund that will take these kids to the Holocaust Museum in D.C., Every time one of these little pricks gets caught at this, if you're caught Nazi-ing, you get sent to the Holocaust Museum. You don't get to do any fun stuff in D.C. You don't get to go to the zoo. You don't get to go to the Smithsonian, to the Natural History Museum or see the Hope Diamond or the dinosaur bones or any of that shit. You fly into D.C., you get in a bus, you go to the Holocaust Museum. You don't get to leave the Holocaust Museum. You get out of the Holocaust Museum. You get on the bus and you go the fuck back home. And if you get caught running around in Klan shit, you get sent to the memorial in Montgomery.
Same thing. You don't. It's great barbecue. You don't get any.
You don't get any.
You get.
Why don't I get any? You discriminate against.
Because little Cletus, this ain't supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be learning. I mean that's just off the top of my head. I don't really know. But anyway, following up on something on a topic you brought up in our previous conversation.
But no, okay. I'm gonna have to put that on the bookshelf now because seriously, the children. See, we're of an age where we remember when people were actually working forward. It's like you were an outcast if you weren't working. Even if you really didn't believe it, maybe you were trying. And I'm talking about white folk because, you know, it doesn't matter what black folks think, pretty much. But it does and it doesn't. They're not part of the power structure. So. But, and that's what's painful. And that's what's really painful is that we saw what it could be like. You know what I mean? I mean, my God, when people really tried, America was a beautiful place. You know, and now we're just this pile of detritus. You know, I like to say detritus, but whatever. Anyway, you see, I'll end it with this because it frustrates the hell out of me because I'm addicted to History Channel on C-SPAN. It's like they had a Civil War channel. They got real TV and the oral histories. Oh, it's just too much. So information is out there if you're curious, even if you haven't been to school. It doesn't matter, you know, because everybody can watch a video. And, you know, let's be honest. This is a new era. Think about it. When you attend, and remember, attending means either physically sitting in a seat at a lecture like we used to do in school, or attending can mean when you are listening to a podcast or watching an accredited historian present a lecture. That's attending. But the deeper part of that word, your word, Smith, and if I'm wrong, you tell me. And I hate to say it like that now, or else I'll hack me. But attending means are you listening and paying attention and processing the information? That's what really attending means. But you can sit there.
In French, attendez-vous, pay attention.
Correct. Okay, thank you. Right. And I won't use that hackneyed phrase anymore. But it means something. I mean, you can sit there, but that doesn't mean you're absorbing the information. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can go to class, but are you paying attention? You know what the hell is happening. You know, you can go, God, man, who's that historian from Yale? And he's got, they have free lectures now, historical. Let me slow down. They have iTunes and I guess YouTube. This guy's name is so English, and he looks so English. He looks, Yale.
The content is more important than the name.
Okay, all right. And I'm just saying this because his lectures are just electrifying. He is really, and I'll get back to you on his name because it will come to me when I'm not concentrating. But so Yale has opened up. They have free lectures. You know. What I'm trying to say before I move on to what I wanted to talk about before, what we talked about, is that this is what happens when people don't have a knowledge of history. Why can't we say, well, wow, the first thing a fascist does is denounce the press. Wow, let's look in the cookbook. You know, forget about the politics. This is just what happens. Well, he's acting just like such and such. Well, you can't say that. Why the fuck can't I say that? Look at history. Now it's too late. Now, where are we? You know what I'm saying? And there's two things that I wanted to say about, well, it actually relates to one. And before I get off one of my tangents, because I didn't take any notes. Now, we talked about this current president using an unsecured cell phone. Now most of what I've been thinking about, and most people are like, oh, our foes are listening, and they were. But wait a minute. That means that all of our folks are listening, too, which immediately puts us in a constitutional crisis because we know this motherfucker is corrupt. So what do you do?
There's also profoundly mentally ill.
Well, we ain't got to that part.
No, we haven't. Let's make clear. And this is kind of hand in glove with, whenever somebody goes and shoots up a high school, people run out and say, oh, he was crazy. No, he wasn't. He won't successfully mount an insanity defense. He acted intentionally and with malice aforethought. He's a murderer. He's not crazy. And you don't have to be crazy to pull the trigger and kill somebody with a gun. You just have to have homicidal intent. And so, when the sitting president of the United States has a history of tweeting anti-Semitic tropes, retweeting anti-Semites, engaging in out-and-out racism, saying that there are very fine Nazis, that's not because he's crazy. I'm convinced, absolutely mentally ill, but that's not proof of it.
Well, he's always...
That is proof that he is the son of Fred Trump, a Klansman and a racist redliner.
Period. Oh, my God, I have to get up my pen now, because I'm sorry, but... I just don't have the retention I used to. And oh my God, I drank liquor for the first time today. Oh my God. And I can't remember the last time I had any liquor. Oh, they had some good rum on sale, man.
I'm telling you, I don't know if you're a bourbon man or not, but I'm telling you, if you see Old Weller, and this is a recommendation from Ron in the wastes of the far frozen north. If you see Old Weller Antique 107, it will, A, be dirt cheap, and B, buy it.
No shit.
It is like nothing you've ever tasted.
Is that with a Q, Antiquan?
Antique 107.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like the antique store.
No shit. I saw that one time.
I don't...
It's out. You don't see that shit.
I can't anymore, but every now and then, just a taste. And I had like a thimble full of that stuff, and it was the damnedest taste in bourbon I've ever... Oh, my God. Ron was right. I mean, for me, I how you get just a tiny little bit in your mouth and you kind of pull some air across it so it'll, with the taste buds and all of that?
Yeah. Right. 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 You're not talking about drinking. You're just talking about testing it out. Right. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Honey and black walnuts.
Oh, shit. Just let that flavor roll around in your mouth a little while, right?
Oh. Just, I mean, and part of it was because last night Scott and I were talking about Aunt Effie's pound cake, and I mentioned making a butter rum glaze. Or a butter rum soak.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff would outstrip any rum. But here's the fun part. You remember a long, long time ago when our buddy Jay Cruzen was desperately searching for a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle?
Yes. Who doesn't? That was special shit.
Yeah, shit that goes for $1,000 a bottle.
Right. If you can get it.
This stuff at $26 a bottle, including tax, is made in the same distillery with the same mash bill as Pappy.
Well, it's the same raw, it's the same liquor here.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the hipster price tag.
Uh-oh, that's a gift. That's a gift. You can get with a gift. But you know what? Good liquor, good bud and good wine are like that for some reason. That's why there's batches. Like, when it's good, you got to run back and get it. When it's there, you got to get it. You know, it has the same label. It doesn't mean it's the same shit.
No, but in this case, I don't think it's very far off.
Well.
So that's just a little, that's just one of those little asides that you and I get into. But it all started with you saying, you know, I hadn't drank till today. By the way, here's the product placement sound. And trust me, that wasn't bourbon. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I love that. Oh, man.
See, when I was trying to, part of the reason that I was afraid that Agnes might have had the mumps was because she failed the mumps test.
Well, duh. I mean, I'm like, that's a start.
I mean, you know the mumps test, you know, where you bite into a really sour pickle. If you've got the mumps, it's not a pleasant experience.
It's going to burn the fuck out of your throat. And you'll be like, ah!
Well, no, it makes your salivary glands go crazy and your parotid glands. Because that's where the mumps goes. You know, that's why you get those, you know, chipmunk cheeks. Well, she failed the test. And I was like, no, really, this can't be. So it isn't, but it was like, oh, please, no, really?
Wait a minute. See, okay, that's when my connection dropped out. You must have been talking about that earlier.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought I wasn't gonna be on the air because we had to run off to the doctor's office this afternoon.
See, we've had terrible weather here, and it's just terrible. It's cold. It's freezing cold and wet and icy. It's awful. And they're working on the street.
At least you didn't get the tornadoes, did you?
Pardon me?
You didn't get the tornadoes.
That's the other thing. I forgot to email. You see if you had any folks. We did. I mean, close. It was very close. Like we usually never get tornadoes here because we're in a gully. Basically, there was one a verified tornado like 20 miles to the east and then 20 miles to the west. Downtown Columbia had a tornado, and Bishopville had a tornado. And the shit, let me tell you, this rain was coming down. It's been raining. I mean, everything is super sad. I'm not exaggerating. You know, I like to exaggerate when I can, but not when anybody can find out what I'm saying. But this shit is fucked. Man, our shit is fucked up right now. The rain was coming. You couldn't see through it. The dog was having a stroke. I mean, this shit was crazy. It was thick. Like, you could not see. All types of tree limbs, and then they're digging up the street at the same time, and it's a mess. Look, you're presenting too many issues at once now. You need to slow down. All right. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm not going to hang up on you, man.
Listen, yeah, I mean, I don't know what this a mile wide, a tornado. We could hear it. Like, I knew you could tell it was one nearby. It was really unnerving. I mean, anybody who doesn't understand, you can get close to it with this rain and the cold. Now it's freezing cold.
Well, your fellow South Carolinian, David in South Carolina, Stan. Subject line, snow. Tell Todd we had snow flurries this morning.
See?
And that means that where David in South Carolina stand is, they probably declared martial law.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and they like to drive fast over there. It's in their blood.
Well, I mean, they got a racetrack nearby.
And it's hot as hell in the summertime. Oh, my God. It's hot as hell there. And the Thunderbird in, baby. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, I'll probably get emails.
Man, that place is special. Oh God,
I didn't get to my notes. Okay, so last time we were talking, I don't know. I wanted to talk. All right.
Breathe. That's right. Letting go now. Letting go now.
And you and Darlene last night. That was beautiful.
Oh, Darlene always brings the A game.
She was on point. And see, she got more granular than I chose to. Right. So I absolutely agree with her. Like, the DSM, honestly, it's just like a committee of people, and they agree saying, okay, well, this is a disorder. No, and this isn't. And in what, folks?
It's not Carl down at the gas station. These are mental health professionals, right?
It's not that bad, but I mean, let's be honest. It's fluid. It changes. That's what I'm saying. It's like, remember, homosexuality, that was a disorder, right?
Oh, yeah. That's you know, why it has to be periodically reevaluated.
And I think it's up to seven.
Five. We're at five. Okay. We kind of went through that last night.
Yeah, I had to cut off. Because, you know, like I said, I branched off from that part. It is what it is. I mean, that's what we have. But the power they have, because remember, they play a part in law because they determine what is right and wrong. And what is acceptable in our society and what isn't. So there's a lot of power behind that.
Well, I did want to mention something to you since we've moved over into the realm of the psychological. Another one of those instances happened today. I mean, it's not quite as good as the little old blue-haired ladies working up chicken and waffles, and then the next day, you got Republicans having a fit over Kamala Harris ordering chicken and waffles. It's not like that. But, you know, last night I spent a pretty extensive amount of time talking about what I believe to be Donald Trump's profound and debilitating and disabling mental illness. Well, lo and behold, bang, a couple hours later, Sparky let me know that Lawrence O'Donnell was citing the dangerous case of Donald Trump.
Yeah. I've got that book. The book he held up, I have it. Andy Lee's book, yeah.
And see, there's a new one, there's a revised edition coming out. And so, lo and behold, I go on the internet today, and there's an interview with Bandy Lee. Trump's pathology is spreading like a disease, and America might not be able to save itself. And yet, the difference is, last night, I was talking about, and again, it's an absurd solution, what I was talking about last night, Todd. But it's an absurd solution for an absurd time. But it just might be viable. It might do an end run on the whole damn 25th Amendment problem.
Well,
but you'd have to have somebody with the guts to do it.
Well, it may be. And what really bothers me is that, you know, my God, we've been talking about it. I remember the first time we talked about this during the campaign. I was like, oh, he's a sociopath. And then you brought up the Spyro Keats, which I absolutely believe now, because let's remember, he already has a higher risk factor for Alzheimer's/dementia because of his family history.
Yep.
And then if you study the effects, especially if he has tertiary syphilis, that exacerbates. It can actually trigger it earlier. I mean, it mimics, there's so much going on negative with his mental health. It's just, it's too much. It's just overwhelming. This is what I don't get. I'm like, someone has to step in. And they have. People have, the professionals have stepped in. But no one's listening. No one's listening.
Well, I mean, it is a fairly small community here, but please don't refer to us as no one. All we can do is put out the ideas and wait for the people who listen to this to put it out later so they can be geniuses.
It appears that way, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
No, a lot of times. You know, so please finish your thought if I didn't cut you off.
No,
please
you didn't. You didn't cut me off. You're good. Go.
Okay. So last time we talked, we were talking about the unsecured cell phone that most likely is still being used. So we, I mean, beyond the obvious, the emoluments clause in terms of being in a constitutional crisis. So it's not just our enemies that are listening. It's the NSA, you know, all our intelligence services. They pretty much know he's compromised because he's so stupid, and the people around him are stupid, and they think they're getting around, and they haven't. And that's why they wouldn't be asking these folks to come and speak again unless they already had evidence. An attorney, a good lawyer, will never ask you a question they don't know the answer to. You can't ask you cannot ask a perjurer a question under oath unless you know what the right answer is. You see, and if you look at Cohen's affect, now it appears he might have lied about a couple of things, maybe, but his affect is totally different. The way he presents himself is totally different. He definitely looks contrite to me.
Well, you know, there are little tells, Todd. One of them was when that one cornpone member of the House said, "You've called Donald Trump a racist and a con man and a cheat. Well, what would you call yourself, sir?" To which
a fool.
Michael Cohen said, "A fool."
He shut the motherfucker.
That was perfect. That was perfect. And it's also an indication of truth-telling.
Truth-telling. Listen, and you know, folks have been paying attention. People are getting worried about getting poisoned. I would. You know, I mean, and Manafort is not safe in prison. You know, money is a reinforcer across everything. You know, people do things with money. So, you know, we had to, yes. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting. But so if our the constitutional crisis. So what happens now when we have when this man, who's obvious, and we hadn't talked since his. Just, oh my God, what the fuck was that shit? What in the fuck?
And it kind of makes you wonder what he's saying behind closed doors.
My God, that's out in public? And this is supposed to be acceptable. That's the fucking president of the United States.
And wait till we get to Alan Weisselberg.
Oh, whoa.
And Matthew Calamari, a.k.a. Maddie Eight Legs, a.k.a. Maddie the Squid.
And we know that at night it's been reported, which we probably believe because it seems to be corroborated through his intermediaries. Donald Trump likes to use his unsecured cell phone to talk to his the Fox News folks. So we have this is told not to Germany. We have the propaganda arms embedded in the administration, and they're presenting themselves as legitimate news organizations on the outside. So, in addition to having straight up white supremacists in like Miller in there, okay, I'm almost worn out trying to explain this shit.
Does that to you, doesn't it?
I mean, what are we waiting on?
Well, I mean, okay, to be fair, you got to develop the evidence. Now,
that's
said
without fucking words. Go ahead, man.
Now, I said that you don't have to wait around on, say, the national emergency declaration. I think that thing stands for itself. But the tax business and the various dodges and the emoluments, that shit all has to be evidentiarily developed. And there's no sense doing it twice. You let judiciary do what it does. You let government oversight and reform do what it does. You let House Finance do what it does. And then everybody turns their shit in and you pull together a committee of impeachment. Here's the problem, though, as I've identified 100,000 times. Okay, not, but you get the idea.
It's hyperbole. No, I know, and
I know, but there's some little right wing turd out there listening at the margins, going, "He hadn't done 100,000 shows."
No, we did because it comes down to the Senate. No, it's not right. So,
well, I mean, there's so much volume, there's so much stuff that it'll take from now till November 2020 to sort it out. Okay? The groundwork for Watergate was laid in Nixon's first term. Remember, it was CREEP, the Committee to Re-Elect the President, that started all the shit. Re-elect. That's 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't quit until, what, 73, 74? I was a kid.
I was kiddier than you, just slightly. Oh my God! And have you seen Mark Felt? I don't know, but that's an interesting movie. It's about Watergate.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of good movies out there. But this whole when you talked about constitutional crisis, that got me thinking. This I'm worried about the inner workings, because there's a lot of shit about to jump off. There's a whole lot of shit about to jump off. You know, India and Pakistan are getting hot. You see, the Venezuela thing. You know, people have forgotten history. They forget about the United Fruit Company. And why Central America is fucked up the way it is and has continued to be fucked up. And we continue to serve these corporate interests. You know, I'm not against people making money. If that's what you want to do, do it. But be nice about it. There's a way to do it and a way not to do it. You know, I mean, if people have a conscience.
When you're talking about Republicans, you're talking about a great big damned if.
Well, yeah, they clapped. These same motherfuckers, remember when they clapped a few years ago? Remember down here? They were like, "Let him die." And they clapped. Boy, they loved that shit, didn't they? Remember that?
Yeah. I forget who said that. But, you know, what do you want to do? Just let him die in the hallways? Yay! USA! USA! I don't know why I'm doing my Clinton voice with that, but yeah.
No, you sound like Bill Clinton doing a Republican USA.
That's just twisted.
That's twisted. So what happens now when we encounter? Not a, now. I'm playing parlor games just for a second. But what is going on? How is our government supposed to function? We have a hollow government. Our shit is fucked up. Foggy Bottom, our State Department has been eviscerated. There's nobody there. There's nobody at the damn metro station. See? That's what it sounds like.
Right.
That's fucked up.
I don't have an answer. I mean, I have an answer. I gave the answer last night. You mental hygiene his ass. You let a forensic psychiatrist, like, say, Bandy Lee, examine him. Barring that, you let a forensic psychiatrist from American University School of Medicine, George Washington School of Medicine, examine him.
Okay. Did you see... Good morning, Joe, this morning.
I did not. What'd I miss?
Okay. I hear you. Like I said, I had some, now it's connecting. You said you had some issues at home, so maybe. Well, all I'm saying is that we have, how are you going to present that to the maggots? Because you used that word rabble before. And you know, and it's funny because no one uses that word other than history class. We're talking about Pitchfork, like the Whiskey Rebellion and things like that. But, you know, that's what we're dealing with now. These folks, they're anti-science, anti-education. They want what they want. They believe what they believe. And everything else is false. And now we have Sinclair that has infiltrated the local news. Which, you know, that's another layer, which is probably hooked up with these cable companies. Because remember, you can't get...
The story yesterday in The New Yorker about Fox News? Jesus Christ.
Tell
it. It was a big read. It was a deep dive. And okay. I'll just kind of leave it to people to go and find it and read it. I mean, it was just a. I mean, the conspiracy is, but it's a big
right.
big word.
It, but this is if you thought Fox is bad, this, you know, you're talking about way out rural. Or in other words, these folks you only get certain types of what you get what you can get. So with a whole other company called Sinclair, so they have the bandwidth and whatever they can get out there. Because remember, all that stuff is local. They have to let you in. You can't just go in. They have to let you in, which means you got to pay off somebody in a lot of instances. They're not going to tell you that, but that's how that works. So they're going to see the news that's presented to them. So that's straight. That's 100% pure D propaganda. And you look at some of this stuff, and it's disgusting. If you think Fox News is bad, oh, my God. So now, fine. These people don't believe anything. They think everybody's against the president anyway because they're living vicariously to him and they believe everything he says because he's the great white hope. And that, you know, for most of those supporters, that's what it comes down to at this point. And they don't believe anything else. So he gets, they say, well, you just, if you listen to him, he say, that's my president. See, that's the key. That's living vicariously. He's my president. Who says that? Did you ever say that's my president in your life?
You know, I don't think so.
Because you're normal.
Well, because I don't think in possessory terms like that. That's the president, not my president.
Well, you don't have that need. You see, you don't have that need. All right.
It's philosophical. He is the president of the United States. I am a citizen of the United States. Like every other citizen of the United States, my allegiance is not to any politician, but to the Constitution. I don't have a president. My country has a president. I am not my country. My country is not me.
But see, that requires a more sophisticated thought process.
Yeah, I guess that requires a really hot shit public school education in Alabama.
Well, right, with microscope and chemistry class and things of that nature, which is why we need socialized education. And when I say that, I mean this. It was part of my job for 10 years. I traveled, going to schools all over the country. We should not, if we really believe in America, we should not have public education funded by local tax base. That is bullshit. This should be a general fund. This should be about maybe you get a panel of architects. There's probably, I would say, probably 10 different school styles, depending on the topography and the geographical region, to save on costs and buying materials. Give every student the same chance. And after that, if they fuck up, that's on them. But and that solves a lot of issues, because you listen to people. Why are you moving? Why are you moving over there? The schools are better. Well, what do you really mean by that?
Well, I won't be around them darkies.
Or because the schools are better. And why are the schools better? Because them darkies ain't there. But what if the darkies were there and it was good schools?
Well, they wouldn't be good schools. You know, Brondo. It's got electrolytes. It's what plants crave. Well, what are electrolytes? They're what plants crave. What do plants crave? Electrolytes. Brondo.
What? Who craves you, Zoo? Me? You? Gallbladder. I'm just fucking with you, man, because you do ain't a joke. I'm telling you, this shit ain't a joke. But I'm serious. I mean, when you travel, you know what? Because you look around, it's happening by default anyway. I notice because I travel a lot. If you notice, people are coming back to these 10 rules. That was a good thing. People used to laugh at a 10 rule. That's the shit. A fucking 10 rule?
I got a metal. Well, it's not 10. It's steel, but I got a metal roof.
You see? You ain't got no problem. Yeah, I mean, aren't you glad you have a metal roof?
Yes, I am. It was a damn sight cheaper than asphalt shingles and wasn't near as hard on the environment to produce as asphalt shingles.
And
rain sounds downright lovely on it.
Oh. Man, that shit'll put you to sleep. Oh.
Why you think I wasn't awake in time for Morning Joe?
Oh man, it's a wonderful sound.
But it is Titanic Tuesday, and I got to share this story with you. You know,
does it involve a ship?
No. This is just Titanic Tuesday.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know the relationship that Maggot America has with its fee-dump-a-teckers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the story, I mean, you kind of know how this is going to go when I say the story comes to us from Talibandiana. And it's about a guy who was too scared to leave his house and go to Wally World for a jug of milk and a loaf of bread without packing heat, because he's a chicken shit. 46-year-old Mark Anthony Jones told police in Marion, Indiana, that he was out for his morning walk. Because, you know, I go out for a morning walk here, and I never leave without an arsenal strapped on. But he had him a high-point 9mm handgun. And, you know, I'm one of those people who actually knows a little bit about guns and is liberal progressive. A high-point is about the cheapest handgun you can buy.
That's what I was going to say.
The high-point 45 is a big old clunky son of a bitch, weighs about the same as a fucking cinder block.
It probably jams every six shot.
And cannot be any pleasure at all to carry. But he was taking a morning walk with his high-point 9mm handgun, and he had tucked it into the waistband of his pantstices.
Oh, shit. Here we go. You know what that type of...
And as he walked along with this incredibly heavy 9mm pistol, he said that it began to slip. Because, again, dipshit here has a cheap-ass handgun, and he's too cheap-ass to buy a cheap-ass holster for his cheap-ass handgun. And besides, maybe
Maybe he feels like a badass when he's just got it tucked into his jeans there. Yeah.
This shit's looking fucked up, man.
Is that a gun in your pants, or are you happy to see me?
Oh God, it's looking fucked up. It's not looking.
Jones told police that when he, quote, reached down to adjust the gun in the waistband of his pants that was too heavy for his pants to hold. I mean, this isn't some little tiny 380 that'll lay in the palm of your hand and won't print in your pants pocket.
This is a big gun. It's a 40, it's a 9mm. Okay, that's a big gun. That's a big gun.
Well,
like physically.
As is so often the case with stories like this, he reached down to adjust the Freedom Protector in his pants. And you know what the next line is, right, Todd?
Man, they ain't pretty.
The gun just went off.
Not that phrase.
And according to reports, the bullet, quote, entered just above his penis and exited his scrotum.
Boy, that's a big vein up there. Did he bleed to death?
The case is being sent along to the Grant County prosecuting attorney because he doesn't have a license to carry a handgun in Indiana.
He doesn't have a license to carry a dick here.
Well, apparently he was. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going. I got to have a little bit of class in this program. I just. This is my rifle. This is my pistol. This is for my gun. Yep, right, yep. But, see, Indiana ain't got no liberty because, see, here in West Virginia, we got liberty. And that means that Cletus here could go and buy him a shooting gun, a Freedom Protector, one of them high points, and stick it in the waistband of his pants. And when he shot his dick off, nobody would be sending a police report to the prosecuting attorney to charge him with a crime for being so fucking stupid he shot his dick off with the bullet exiting his scrotum. I'm guessing there was damage both to the meat and one of the two veg. I mean,
damn.
What kind of terrible shot are you if it goes through your penis and exits your scrotum and somehow you miss the boys? You are one bad shot or one lucky SOB. Self-made. But at least here in West Virginia, you can just go and buy you a gun and stick it in your pocket or your waistband and go about your business until you shoot your Johnson off. But this poor little bastard he may go to the stir. And I wouldn't want to be going to the stir with equipment that wasn't getting the job done. I don't know about you.
I'm not a fan of that. No, I
vote no. Because they're in your county jails in Talibandiana. It's do or be done, right?
I mean, you're making me scared to even go to West Virginia again because you make it sound like you got all these like ignorant people walking around because you know.
Yeah, this is Indiana. And you got to admit that in the age of the internet and the age of texting various and sundry kind of photos, it really does give a whole new meaning to the idea of a dick shot.
Where's the cowbell?
Can I have a cowbell? Can I please have a cowbell?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Okay, good deal.
God. That's a big one. Are you kidding? Wait a minute. That's a double.
Yeah, that's a line I never hear.
That's a double.
That's a line I never hear.
Dip and shot and dip and shit. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had it.
18 minutes into the third hour of the program, the program has entered the gutter.
Okay.
Wait. We are not the only people who know what a high point is. Les just chimed in. Ugly ass gun. He should have shot himself for buying that piece of shit. There is no excuse for owning a high point pistol.
I mean, if you're serious about a firearm, that ain't nothing you're going to pass down. Hey, I want to pass this down to my son. I'm teaching high school. No, no. That's a fucking Saturday Night Special piece of shit, man. I don't even know why. You know what? That's what we need regulate. We need regulations on firearms. But they can make these fucking cheap guns, man, and it will blow up in your face. And these people will buy them up. They'll kill you, kill everybody else. They don't give a fuck.
Like I said, I was over to the I was over to the gun counter of the Rural King not long back, and I saw a good old boy handling an AR-15, and he got the sweats. I mean, he was so excited, Todd. He wanted it. It just made him feel so proud and so good.
Bob, you're making this. I know you have a program.
I was there. I stop by. I look at him from time to time. I think about buying a handgun every now and then. Because I live around some maggots.
I know you had mentioned that to me one time. That's crazy, though, man. And you know, they scare me. All right, and let me go back to what you were saying about me being, because I can't tell you how many times I've been to West Virginia. I mean, countless. That's how I can't even count. So
yeah, but there's West Virginia, and then there's West Virginia. I mean, if you just kind of grooved through the Eastern Panhandle, Todd. I mean, it's technically West Virginia, but it ain't West Virginia.
I had. Southern West Virginia, no. I don't think. I had to look at the map.
Over there in the Panhandle, them's Marylanders. Or wannabe Marylanders.
They're too close to Pittsburgh, too close to you-know-who, right?
Well, and you know, when you get up to that, in that direction, the Northern Panhandle, them's Pittsburghers. I mean, they put gravy on their fries.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Right,
They go to Eaton Park and get gravy fries that's just Western PA.
Which ain't I'm not gonna get into that. But oh my God,
the real West Virginia starts along about Mothman Country, the Lewis County Monster and things like that. Then.
Oh, shit. Come on, man. You know I haven't had any liquor. I can't, like I told you, I can't, I might have been a year since I had any liquor, man. Stop fooling me like that, man. It's not funny.
although I saw some data recently. The cheapest place to live in America is the, greater Beckley metropolitan area.
What? Greater what did Beckley
GBMA, yeah.
GBMA, right.
Where
right,
you live, man? Right. GB man, I'm from the GBMA.
GBMA SMSA. That's it. The GBMA SMSA. The GBMA, Statistical Metropolitan Statistical Area. Anyway. Right.
The GBSMSA. Right. Yeah, that's right. That's where I call home, the GBSMSA. Most of the houses are under $100,000. Most of the people around there own their houses. And it's an ecotourism eco-athletics wonderland.
We're not going to get back in the motor ranges, are we?
I don't think so. But, I mean, I'm even toying with the idea of doing some rock climbing this summer.
No shit. You're going to do some, I was about to act like I know what I'm talking about, like 4 or 5. I just remember these rock climbing, some kind
no,
of...
No, we got trails that go up onto the cliffs by the New River Gorge.
Mm-hmm.
And they have iron ladder rungs driven into the stone, and you go up on top and you just climb down the ladder like for 300 or 400 feet.
Damn. And stop and take pictures?
No, not really, not on the ladder. That's just one of those things where you have to use the powers of memory. But you get down to the trail below, and then you can hike along, and you can go bouldering and you know, scramble around and have a high old time.
What, you know, those pictures that I don't know if you still have them on your own. I always use the, when I listen, I always use the, what is it, live.
Oh, the head-on.live, yeah.
Yeah, I never have any problem with that. When I hear people say that they're not hearing or whatever, I never have any problem with the head-on-live. But sometimes you have those wonderful, like, seasonal.
Yeah, that was a rotator. I need to send Brother Deacon Asa some more pictures. Agnes has taken some beautiful ones. She's the photographer of the family. She's got a great eye.
It's no joke, man. When I would have to go to evaluate school, you know, you got to meet the principal, the superintendent, all that, blah blah blah. And they take you around, and they drive you. There was some place called Millionaires. I don't know, Millionaires. It might be, I don't know. I can't remember exactly the city now or something. But man, the beauty. West Virginia is just so beautiful, and the air.
Yeah, the part that we haven't blown up is exquisite. The part we've blown up is uglier than fuck, and poisonous.
And that's what's so fucking preposterous about all this shit. It's like, wow, you're gonna pick some of the most pristine pieces of America right here. Right, I mean, remember, like, West Virginia used to be the West back in the day. That was like the West, going West, you know, like Danny did. Well, it was the West, you know, West Virginia. That was the West, like going out. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, maybe. But it's so remote and beautiful. The air in the morning is sweet, you know. And then, you know, people are cooking in Tennessee and West Virginia and the hours when you're driving along the highway. It's just really something. And the people are really, I mean, my God, man, I've never had any trouble. I look back. I mean, I would never do what I did then. I was alone. I'd be out there, man. My God, I would never do that shit now. I'd be scared to death. I would be scared to fucking death. I never had any trouble. Never. I've been thinking.
Well,
about
speaking
that.
Of, speaking of which, I mean, I kind of wanted to go with a story this evening because it is Titanic Tuesday. You know what went down in the State House on Friday, right?
Hey, over there, with the poster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that some shit?
Well, you gotta. There's. This is an onion, okay? Because there's a lot of layers. So as quick as they get caught, the Republicans in West Virginia come out and say, "Wow!" And the head of the Republican National or State Republican Committee is a woman named Melody Potter. I got Potters in my family. I'm scared to death I might be vaguely related to her. Kind of gives me the fan tods.
Mr. Potter, can I please have a bowl of gruel?
But, you know, she put out a statement that said, yeah, we certainly do not support hate in the West Virginia Republican Party, even though we've got a delegate who said he would like to drown his children if they turned out to be gay. We don't support hate. And we don't know who those people were that brought that terrible, terrible poster. Only thing was, Act for America, who had the terrible, terrible poster, well, they were invited there because it was West Virginia Day, West Virginia GOP Day at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're the ones that brought the picture with Ilhan Omar on it, up top, a photograph of the Twin Towers on fire. Never forget, you said, and then a picture of Ilhan Omar sitting in the House of Representatives. I am the proof you have forgotten. And signs right next to it. ActForAmerica.org, right next to a sign that says, Kanawha County Republicans.
But you know, they don't know anything about it, Bob, because this isn't 19,
Well, there,
19.
And then they pulled out this, you know, I may disagree with it, but we have to support free speech.
See, no, fuck that.
So, in other words, if the Klan showed up in the rotunda, the West Virginia Republican Party would say, well, we certainly don't support the kind of hate that the Klan stands for, even though there were several of our members under those hoods. But we have to support their right to free speech. Fuck that. Since when is saying that people should be killed free speech? Hint. All it right. Ain't.
So once again, we're dealing with folk who cannot equate the fact that there is free speech, but there is free speech that is damaging. Fine, let them say what they have to say, but you must as
no, there's free speech, and then there's the speech that isn't free because it's called incitement.
Incitement. And this is not speech that we can condone as a state government or as a nation. And you have to make a stand and say, well, you can't say that. Yes, we can. This is unacceptable. This is why, and the fact that folks can't. You see, but we're in a different place. You see, and you know me. I'm very able to put myself in the shoes of poor white folk because I've been around them a lot. Seriously, and I've listened to them speak, and it goes for gay. You know, remember, middle America. They're sick of hearing about black people cry. They're sick of hearing about gay people crying. They don't give a fuck about that shit. All they know is that they ain't got no fucking jobs like they used to have, and they can't figure it out. And they don't want to accept the fact that they had it easy for years, many of them, not everybody, and that's what makes it complicated. Many of them had it very easy for many years, not to have to do shit, but, you know, just go to high school, get a job, you know.
And you know who, in the case of that poster, you know who was one of the first people out of the gate to condemn it? A member of the House of Delegates named Mike Pushkin. As you might guess, Mike Pushkin is Jewish. And in condemning the poster, he said, I said in 1933 in Berlin, they might have had a similar poster about somebody like me. But here's the thing. Not one single member of the Republican House of Delegates condemned the poster. And Mike Pushkin said, I'm really disappointed that not a single Republican elected official in this building could join me in saying it's wrong.
Thank you, Bob.
Republican Delegate Diana Graves said,
my issue with what I saw outside has to do with another truly American foundational issue, and that's freedom of speech. So while I may not agree, notice she says may not.
Words mean mm-hmm. things. The goddess of irony is on the goddamn
may
job
not.
24/7.
Wait a minute. That's
so while I may not agree with everything that's out there, I do agree that freedom of speech is something that we have to protect, even if we don't agree with it.
It's like the asshole from the school district in California with the swastika beer pong, who referred to inappropriate anti-Semitic symbols. I mean, when I read that the first time, I about barked at the moon.
Because, I heard that. See, that's when the program started kicking back in. That's why I feel like I missed something with your better half. And I feel weird and funny about it. I'm sorry about that. But that's crazy.
I may disagree with the Islamophobic racist poster, but we still have to have Islamophobic racist posters, or we won't have freedom of speech in Merca.
The fact that and the way they look, do you understand the patina? I forget what, it might have been on the Hill, I don't know, wherever I saw it. I was like, oh my God. This looks like some shit from 1932. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
But the thing is, that overshadowed another story that broke over the weekend here.
Oh, no. Come on, how can that... come on, wait a minute. This is some serious news, because first of all, what that woman was said what Omar said, well, I think that it deserves more investigation. Like, you know, people, don't be so hyperbolic about what, not you. Folks, listen to what she's saying. Because, you know, the beloved Netanyahu seems to be paralleling our president in terms of being corrupt and being a prejudiced asshole. Well, I'm not supposed to use that word.
Well, I'm not, but really, there was another story that got overshadowed by all this.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, it's a story that has to do with more Republican hate. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking...
There's more?
But wait, there's more. If you order in the next 15 minutes... a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the West Virginia delegate, Eric Porterfield.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who said that it would drown his children if he found out they were gay. The guy who used the F word slur that isn't fuck on the floor of the House in a committee room, in a committee hearing.
He meant that shit. When he said he was going to drown his kid, he meant that shit, though. That's the fucking thing. He wasn't kidding.
So everybody, you know, and he made a big point of talking about how he's all blind and everything. We talked a lot about that night. And I thought he was blind from birth. I issued a correction a couple of days later. No. He went blind, somewhere around 2006 when he was a full-grown adult. But he wouldn't tell anybody how it was he went blind. And so the Charleston Gazette had to go out and do some real-life, no-kidding journalism. Eric Porterfield thought he could keep it all hushed up because it was out of jurisdiction. You could have called every police department in West Virginia and never found out what happened to Eric Porterfield. Because what happened to Eric Porterfield is, first of all, you have to understand, after he got exposed, people started talking about how shitty and he was and what a bully he was to him, of course, in the name of Jesus. In the court, you know, there was a gay kid who talked about how he'd been bullied by him all through high school. There was an actual OBGYN who was harassed by him nearly constantly, with him asking her, "How many lesbians have you inseminated today?" This guy is a real piece of work. But he's also a man of God. And the way he got to be a man of God was by going to something described as an unaccredited, because you were talking about doing accreditations a little bit ago, an unaccredited Baptist theological college in Indiana. So there he was, being a student of theology at an unaccredited Baptist college, and I guess he needed to reach out and witness to the sinners or something. And so they went to a strip joint one night.
Wait a minute. What you're saying is not congruent. You went from talking about accredited religious institutions of higher learning. And then, I mean, not that strip clubs are bad things, I suppose, but
Baptist theology students probably shouldn't be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Would you agree with me?
I would agree with that.
Okay, well, he was. And not only that, he decided to get all, his buddy, I guess, got liquored up. Maybe he didn't. Things are not entirely clear. They left the strip joint and went to another place. And long about 3 o'clock in the morning, when things were closing up, they started mouthing off at a woman. And she was in the company. Now remember, this is a Goddess of Irony story on Titanic Tuesday, so you got to work with me here. So he started mouthing off at the woman, and he said something to his buddy about, you know, "You don't have to apologize to that bitch."
What?
And she was in the company of a guy named Jesus.
Oh, shit. Somebody's about to get fucked up.
Well, I mean, Jesus was known for hanging out with the sinners and the publicans and the whores and the strippers, right? Well, apparently Jesus is still doing that, and Jesus didn't take too kindly to it. And neither did Jesus' posse, otherwise known as his disciples.
Uh-oh.
So they set about beating the holy shit out of the Baptist theology student, Eric Porterfield. And somewhere along the way...
I had to learn how to say that.
Set
about. I like
that shit. Yeah, it only takes a lifetime, Todd. Jesus and his disciples set about their father's business and beat the fuck out of Eric Porterfield. And along the way, they because Bible stories are Bible stories, and the way that Paul learned to stop persecuting Christians was by being struck blind on the road to Damascus. So I reckon they figured that would help Eric Porterfield too. So Jesus and his disciples poked out Eric Porterfield's eyes.
Damn, man.
Because that's how big an asshole Eric Porterfield is. And never mind the fact that in the letters of Paul, he tells the followers of the way not to participate in the law courts of the empire to settle problems amongst themselves. Eric Porterfield proved not interested in following St. Paul's advice. So instead, he's suing Jesus and his disciples. Well, not really that. He's suing the bar, saying that the bar failed to protect him after he was an asshole to a woman, that the bar failed to protect him from Jesus and his disciples helping him toward his road to Damascus moment. Apparently, Eric is still on the road to Damascus because his sight has not yet been restored. And he argues with the doctors. Doctors say, hey, Eric, the reason you can't see anymore, buddy, is because... you got your eyes poked out, pal. And he goes, no, I didn't. I had brain damage. Why? That's why I can't see. And so there is still apparently litigation going on as he, in the name of Jesus, well, no, not in the name, you know, because Jesus is the defendant in this case. But you get the idea.
That's crazy.
And that's the guy who said that he would happily... That he would drown his children if they turned out to be gay.
Excuse me, Mr. Kincaid, that fucking story right there, that beats all that shit anyone's heard on the radio today. That is fucking insane.
Only in West Virginia.
Wait, I don't... What the
or, fuck? Technically speaking, Indiana. At least he didn't shoot his dick off. Because that also happens in Indiana if you own a crappy 9mm high point pistol.
Well, that's the other question I was going to ask you. Like, that's why I'm scared to go. One of the reasons now I'm scared to go to West Virginia. Anybody can have a gun walking around, like the fictitious Cowboy West, I suppose. Right. But everyone likes semi-automatic weapons now. Nobody likes a revolver anymore. The people, you know, the young folks.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which means, and they want to keep one in the chamber, which means when that shit drops out of the waistband and hits the concrete floor, if it's cheap, it's going to go off.
Bang.
The safety's
right,
going
right.
to fucking work.
Right. The gun just went off.
But you shouldn't have had your fucking gun in it. What? I mean, come on.
Sorry, I mean, don't take it out on me, man.
No, I'm just saying. Why do you feel like you have to walk around with a fucking gun? Like, what are you doing that's so bad that you feel like you have to walk around with a gun?
Crown Point, Indiana, by the way. Hiles Anderson College, an unaccredited Baptist school in Crown Point, Indiana. And he didn't pursue criminal charges against anybody, but he sued the bar.
You know, I've seen a lot of things.
You're gonna love this though. Further proof of what an asshole he is. I mean, he's a full on maggot. Okay, one of the reasons that he said that he ran for office was to try to protect gay conversion therapy from being outlawed in this state. You know, where?
Oh my God!
You know, pray the gay away. So when doing their job, and it was a heck of a reporting job by Jake Zuckerman, who's on the staff at the Gazette, right. He reached out to Eric Porterfield and said, well, this is what I found out. Would you care to comment? Eric Porterfield's response, well, you better talk to my lawyer, and if you publish that story, I'm going to sue you in the name of Jesus. I should have saved this for Wednesday. The thing is, this is one of the people who approved of that filthy-ass poster in the West Virginia Capitol.
Oh, you're tying a bow on it. Oh, my God. And I'm going to tell you, those posters, and see, it wasn't enough. I think there were two, at least two, right? I saw two.
Well, the other one was a poster that said, until we take care of poverty in West Virginia, or in Appalachia, no money for refugees.
Right, which is psychological warfare in a way. You know, so that's manipulative, because what they're trying to do is say, if you don't get with this, this is what happens. You know, I don't want to get into it. So
apparently,
this is a problem.
Yeah, so apparently Porterfield took the first swing, because the young woman was out with family and cousins and what.
Wait a minute. Please, I'm having trouble here. Please help me. You're telling me, are you just telling me that this miscreant carrying, in that state, it's okay to carry, but he's carrying a weapon.
No. That's a different guy. That's the asshole who shot his dick off. This is Porterfield, the guy who had his eyes gouged out. He and his buddy went to a strip club called Skybox in Harvey, Illinois, about 10:30 p.m. Saturday night, December 10th, 2006. But I guess the action wasn't what they were after there, so then they went across the Talibandiana state line to Kavanaugh's sports bar and et cetera.
Oh, right. Okay.
A woman who was there enjoying herself at Kavanaugh's, by the name of Andrea Acevedo,
right,
was with her cousin and two friends walking to her car after the bar closed when McPherson walked up and touched her without her permission. This would be known as common law battery. And McPherson told her to shut the fuck up and fuck you, bitch. That's when Porterfield shows up and says, what are you apologizing to this bitch for? The Christian said, you don't have to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when Jesus gets involved. Jesus Venegas and Jason Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
And Porterfield looked at Jesus and Jason and said, what are you bitches going to do about it?
Oh, my God.
And then Porterfield takes a shot, a punch, and knocked out Jason Venegas cold, because he's a big man.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Acevedo, who was the cousin of Andrea, said, I just noticed, like, people were yelling, and it kind of caught my attention. And then, like, I turned around and looked over, and I see this guy hit Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Jesus, but still.
I know. I was going to say that. It's so funny, because I was just about to say it. That's so funny.
Porterfield bit Dorado's ear.
Mm-hmm.
When Dorado had him in a headlock. And then Dorado said, what the fuck do you want? He bit me. And that's when that's when Jesus' disciple poked out the racist bigot homophobe's eyes. And yet this dude is suing the bar. So much for that turn the other cheek. So much for that forgiveness stuff.
It would appear, once again, it borders on projection. But
and he doesn't even he doesn't even have the. I'm sorry, I was drunk. He was, the cops said they smelled booze on everybody but him.
I probably believe that. So, look, man, people are angry. They don't know where to place their anger. It's displaced anger. You know, they don't understand they've been played. And no one likes to admit they made a mistake. It hurts. You know, you put all your marbles in, you keep putting that money in that slot machine and you think it's going to hit, and it's not coming. You know, you just went to a casino. You know, you invested in the charlatan. And this is what happened. So, but that story, you see, the hate, what? This hate. And this is what disturbs many of us. If you listen, can you imagine me talk about the Democrats having hate? This hate. Democrat Party, this hate. Why can't you support the president? Why? How many reasons do you need? But now look, it's not just him. It's the minions. It's the rabble. You see, this is the fruition of what has happened when you've been dumbing down people and you've been telling them, you don't need to go to school. You know, don't listen to those teachers. That black bitch who used to, in math class, she must have been from Michigan, and we in Ohio. She's trying to tell us how to balance an equation and quadratics. And what the fuck does she know? She's from some goddamn ghetto. We ain't got to listen to her. That's why I hate that black bitch. That's right. Well, all we got to do is Donald Trump. You see, it's that kind of shit. And I'm not just making this up. You see, I hear things. This is why I do my voices. I have to do something with it. You understand?
They live in your head.
You've heard this shit? I think. No, that's a question. Have you? Maybe. All right, never mind. You don't have to respond. I was being kind of, I'm just saying, you know. I'm not hateful. I'm just saying, you know, it's just about people have to, we have to help each other, man. This is ridiculous because what's about to happen right now? We are already in a constitutional crisis. Something is bad happening now. Anyway, we have a propaganda arm of media that is really controlling the White House, and probably has been for some time. A mentally ill president, a mentally ill MILF. You know, I'm a little fascist. You know,
Hey, you want it? You want a Roger Stone update?
Please, man. Because I'm just kind of like, you know what, man? You always cheer me up like a fucking shady cookie.
Little ray of sunshine. That's me. Raj got hailed back into court today because he just can't stop doing stupid shit on social media.
Tell.
Well, he apparently has a book coming out, The Myth of Russian Collusion.
What?
Yeah. And it's basically just a retread of a book he put out earlier with a new introduction that lays into Robert Mueller. Mm-hmm. And Judge Amy Berman Jackson wrote in an opinion, defendant's March 4 submission gives rise to the impression that the March 1 motion, which purported to have been submitted in an abundance of caution, was intended to serve as a means to generate additional publicity for the book. And then he put out, you know, another stupid Instagram post because, well, rat fucker's gonna rat fuck.
Okay, right, and this, you know what? There's just so much confusion around all this perjury and lying. I mean, and now you remember how we aren't joking, but you know, let's start from the top.
I mean, the latest thing that he put out was a fake movie poster with his face on it that says, "Who framed Roger Stone?"
Who framed Roger Stone? What?
Yeah.
That's preposterous. That's ridiculous. You heard what I said. Ridiculous,
yeah,
is one thing, but ridiculous is it's just,
yeah, it's redonkulous.
Look, what the fuck? You know what? Why would Berman, Berman, whatever her name
Berman
is, the judge? Why the fuck? I would. Man, as soon as that motherfucker farted, I'm sorry, you're going to prison. No, you're not trustworthy. He's never been trusted. He's always been a crook. I'm sorry. That's me. Maybe something.
It's all right. No. But see, here's the fun part. She didn't even get around to addressing the Who Framed Roger Stone thing. That is yet to be determined. On the other hand, because he was about to have the living be Jesus sued out of him, Jerome Corsi. It won't matter to the maggots or anything, or to the people who actually tune in to Alex Jones and buy his chocolate chicken bone paleo nutrition beverage. But rather than lose his ass, Jerome Corsi said in an InfoWars article published March 5th, 2018, Dr. Corsi, again, wouldn't trust him to put on a Band-Aid, alleged that Seth Rich and his brother Aaron Rich were involved in downloading and leaking emails from the DNC to WikiLeaks. Dr. Corsi acknowledges that his allegations were not based upon any independent factual knowledge regarding Seth or Aaron Rich. It was not Dr. Corsi's intent to rely upon inaccurate information or to cause any suffering to Mr. Rich's family. They had to put the same statement up in replacement of the original InfoWars article.
That fucker! Wait a minute. When did that come out, Bob?
When did what come out? This story?
What? All right.
Yesterday.
No. Let me slow the fuck down. In other words, when did his confession to that shit that has been
yesterday?
Motherfucker! And let me tell you something. That fucking asshole has been hand in glove and ruining this country. Fuck him. Ugh. What a piece of shit. I'm sorry. sorry, I didn't mean to cut.
And so the March 5th, 2018 article at InfoWars was replaced by the statement. The original title of the March 5th, 2018 article was Anti-Trump Left Tries to Revive Dying Russia Narrative by Blaming Roger Stone. And the sad thing is there are people over on the so-called far left who also believe the Seth Rich filth.
Well, because look how long that trope had been out there. That's why when I said, that's why I was like, well, when did this happen? Come on. I mean,
it took a year for the Rich family's lawyers to make Jerome Corsi and Alex Jones see the light that, you know, they'd better do that or, you know, get their clocks cleaned by a jury.
Let me say this about Kincaid. Now, you know I've mentioned this before because I've always been a lover of Shoutcast and Winamp, always, since, when you know, way back, 90s, because that was the shit. Now, and I still use it, and I was on there today. And do you understand that asshole, AJ, I'm not going to say his full name, AJ, when you pull it up, it's still one of the top ranking sites.
I have no doubt.
And these people are dangerous.
Well, but he's under pressure, too, because there are court orders out there that force him to be deposed and to turn over a shit ton of internal documents from the so-called InfoWars.
Well, they have to. They should.
You know, meanwhile, and I'll just say this because we're kind of at the end of the program, thank you very kindly to Renee up in D.C. Renee jumped in. We're down to 220. And thank you very much, Renee, for joining in this evening and help with Andy the Angry Jew and with Charlene and helping to knock some of this out. So tomorrow we'll be at, hey, the magic number, 420, in fundraising to get even with the middle of the week. Got to get out of here, Todd, but it's been a Jim Dandy conversation, as they always are.
I'll see you. That sounds like a lucky number.
All right. Later, brother.
Peace out.
Later. Our buddy Todd, time to roll up the sidewalks and get the podcast uploaded and everything. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers, both at PayPal and at Patreon. Thank you again to Kat and to Charlene and to Andy and to Renee for helping out this evening. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, celebrating 20 years, marking 20 years of hard work and struggle for human rights in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone of Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.